in opening to prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we simply ask of Thee, open Thy Word unto us, dear Father, wherever Thy Word is spoken this evening. Feed and nourish us, dear Father. And we ask and we beg, dear Father, to preserve us in this begun faith as Your child until we close our eyes for the last time. And we pray as Thy Son has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Oftentimes, in this endeavor of faith, we struggle in one way or another, different circumstances. And seems that the world so often is so oppressing, and the onslaught of the enemy is often so fierce, and our own sin-corrupt flesh oftentimes weighs heavily upon us. And so I thought I'd read for our text this evening one of the Psalms wherein he is pleading unto the Heavenly Father for help and blessing. And it's found at this time from the 121st Psalm, and we'll begin reading from its first verse onward. And these words are in Jesus' name as follow. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall never slumber nor sleep. For the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. And the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. Once again, we made that trip to Seattle, and I want to bring you greetings from those brothers and sisters that we saw there, and also from that small flock in Gillette, Wyoming. This psalm that we heard read here indeed is actually one of the psalms set aside for New Year's Day, the beginning of a new year, and that plea and cry unto the Heavenly Father for His blessing and care and help, which we so dearly need. It begins here, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. The letter unto the Hebrews writes of that mount where Moses had gone up Mount Sinai to get the commandments of God. And the Bible, and he records in Hebrews of that in this way, that I'm going to read it from the 12th chapter. He says that, "For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest." We do not gather near that hill or that mount. He continues explaining of this Mount Sinai. And it says, "And the sound of a trumpet and a voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart." And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, "I exceedingly fear and quake." Dear brothers and sisters, it is so comforting that we are not under the law. It is not a good place to be. It is indeed, as the writer unto the Hebrews says, that, "And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake." So unto what then is the psalm writer pleading unto when he says, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help"? Again, the letter unto the Hebrews here records unto us of this mount, this hill. And it says in the 22nd verse of the 12th chapter of Hebrews, and he's speaking of you and I and all the children of God. And he said, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God and the heavenly Jerusalem and to an innumerable company of angels," and so on. Indeed, it feels so good to be here in God's kingdom, under His protective and sheltering arm, where, as it says here, "My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth." In that 40th chapter of Isaiah is recorded some of those words of our Heavenly Father unto us, unto all His children, where He is reassuring us and saying, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, and that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. There are some boys, little boys and girls here this evening. How does it feel to you when you've been disobedient? And you've caused grief and sorrow to your mother and father? It certainly hasn't felt good, has it? No. But how have you felt then when your mother and father reassured you that your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood? It has felt good, hasn't it? And so it is, we are all children of our Heavenly Father, and it doesn't matter if you're a young boy or a girl, or a youth, or somebody in middle age, or even an elder. the feeling is the same. Satan wants to bring grief and sorrow and distress. He's a destroyer. He wants to destroy joy of a child of God. And he does a very good job. He's very diligent. And he works on us every single day. When we wake in the morning until we sleep at night, he doesn't give us much peace. The only time we can receive peace is when we gather together around God's Word, be it here at services or around your dining room table or in your living room, where you, mother or father, may pick up a book and begin to read of the goodness and grace and mercy of our Heavenly Father. When you begin to teach them about the love of our Lord Jesus, Satan flees. Or when you're at home and you mothers may be making meals and singing those songs and hymns of Zion, Satan flees. He cannot bear to hear that. And he flees when the gospel of the forgiveness of sins is preached. He flees far. It's very terrible for him to hear those words. But unto us, it brings such comfort and joy and reassurance. We have defeated the tempter once again. And it is exactly as those former saints have said, that we, every day, we go from victory to victory to victory. Boys and girls, once the disciples came to Jesus and asked Jesus that, how many times do I forgive my brother in faith? Sister in faith. And they said that, is seven times enough in one day? Moms and dads, if you've preached the gospel to your loved one seven times in a day, the sin corrupt flesh oftentimes becomes kind of irritated. And so we battle against this flesh and blood also. But boys and girls, Jesus told his disciples, no, not seven times, but 70 times seven in a day. Well, if you do the arithmetic, it would be 490 times in one day. It's incredible the grace and mercy that our Heavenly Father has upon us. Oh, if we could have just a little more long-suffering and patience and forbearance and but when we receive the forgiveness of our sins, it gives new power and new strength to go forward and battle and fight against that threefold enemy, doesn't it? It certainly brings joy into the hearts. One of the psalm writers had said that there is joy and salvation, a rejoicing heard in the tabernacles of God. Well, your home is a believing tabernacle of our Heavenly Father. And many times, even from your homes, there is heard and felt in the heart rejoicing and joy that has arisen, that my sins have been forgiven. The prophet here reminds us, our Heavenly Father indeed himself reminds us that there's reason to rejoice and to be comforted because the warfare is accomplished. Well, there's battles and and warfare. And he's reminding us that Jesus has prepared that way of salvation unto us in such a miraculous way that the warfare has already been accomplished through his merit work, and that your sins and iniquities have been forgiven. As a matter of fact, double. There is so much grace and mercy and forgiveness, and our Heavenly Father desires to grant unto us. Jesus said, he says, "Fear not, little flock. It is my Father's good pleasure to grant unto you his kingdom." Every day he desires to grant unto us of that grace and mercy and forgiveness. And Jesus taught those believers and unbelievers alike, as oftentimes there was multitudes gathered around him. And he reminded them to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all else shall be added unto you. How's it been, Dad? How have you fathers and mothers been? Have you worried about the temporal good? And, you know, when it seems many times that the month maybe came too soon and the resources were very, very minimal and oftentimes ran short. You know, we as people, we oftentimes look too far ahead. We worry about those things in the future. And it's so good for us to remember. And Jesus himself told us that if our Heavenly Father feeds those sparrows every day, how much more does he provide unto you? And it's important to have that faith and trust that God will take care of us. Yes, there's difficulties and sorrows and afflictions that oftentimes overtake us. But you know what? Those in the unbelieving world experience the exact same thing, and even more. Everything that happens unto us, there is a reason and a purpose. God has. Oftentimes we don't know and we question. But it is so important that we endeavor to have that faith and trust on our Heavenly Father who created the entire universe. He created the heavens and the earth and all living things. And as Jesus reminded us, that he even sees when a hair falls from our head. He knows and he sees. There was one time when Moses, well, there were many times, but this one in particular time, he was so wearied because of the disobedience and unbelief of his fellow countrymen. He felt that burden and weight upon his shoulders, even in his own endeavor of faith. And he sighed out of exhaustion, weariness, just difficulty trying to go forward. And you know what it says in the Bible when he just sighed, just out of weariness, the sigh just came from his lips. It says in the Bible, and immediately God asked, "Why does my servant cry?" That is how near our Heavenly Father is to us. He sees and he knows, and indeed he is very near unto us. And it's good that we have faith and trust. Even of that, Jesus once told those children of God that were gathered around him. He said that even if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could move that mountain. But what grace of grace it is, that we're not saved by the amount of faith that we have, but rather we're saved by that living faith of our Heavenly Father, that one correct faith. Even though it's so tiny, so small, and even though we so oftentimes struggle and are so wearied and tired and just oppressed by the temptations that Satan is forcing upon us, and the darkness of the unbelieving world, how close it comes on to us, and sometimes it seems as if we get kind of hardened to that. That it doesn't, those terrible sins and doings of the unbelieving world sometimes don't seem quite as terrible. Well, I know our elders, if you would ask them when they were younger, well, society in general, there were laws against sodomy. There were laws in many, many states against, you couldn't fish or hunt on Sunday, the Sabbath day. The stores were closed. There was a fear of God. There was a respect for His Word. That is gone today. It has disappeared. Yes, in this country, there are many, many, I have to say, there are many of our countrymen, I would say millions of them, who believe upon our Heavenly Father. And it is exactly as the Apostle Paul said when he spoke of his countrymen, that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. And so we pray on their behalf. We pray on the behalf of our loved ones who have been deceived into the darkness of unbelief, that God would shine that ray of light into their light, and that they would feel that need to repent and to come on unto repentance and forgiveness. And also we pray that unto our unbelieving neighbors. There was recently one older lady, I suppose I should say a grandmother. She was a grandmother, unbelieving grandmother, and now I heard that she had just passed away during these days when I wasn't home. But she was weeping there in a nursing home one day, and when I happened to walk by, and I sat down and visited with her and tried to encourage her and remind her of the love of God and that grace and mercy and forgiveness that He has, and preached the gospel to her, and she quit crying, and she thanked me. Thanked the Heavenly Father. You know, when one receives forgiveness from unbelief, they don't begin to thank you, but you hear those praises unto God. And certainly, I'm sure it was so even in her heart. You know, the prophet, I'm going to read that portion, the prophet. It's, again, it's from the 40th chapter, but it begins here in the 9th verse, and it says in this way, O Zion, speaking of you and I, that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, and be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Dear brothers and sisters, be free to speak of this gift that God has given unto you, especially when you see someone who is pining away in sorrow and in weariness and in the darkness of unbelief. But of course, at any given time, even in our midst, there is someone who is struggling fiercely against those temptations of the enemy of the soul, and may even be carrying grievous sin. And there are those that are in a sorrowing and loss of loved ones. And there's always somebody in our midst who is in the midst of trial and difficulty. And they need to hear that voice of joy and goodness from our Heavenly Father. He continues, Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand,
and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. And he shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Yes, God is very near and close to us every day. That's why it's so important, even though our lives seem to be a whirlwind of just activity of many, many different sorts, it's so important that we step back. And even this, the psalm writer has reminded us, be still. God said, be still and know that I am your God. And visit one another. You young, even you youth, visit the elders. Visit other mothers and fathers and young mothers. Visit old mothers and that is where we hear that pleasing and joyous voice of our Heavenly Father. In our text it says then that my help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. You know, when Job was in the midst of his trial and difficulty, and he had trial. You know, when you read that book of Job, it's incredible what happened in his life. But Job himself even had grown in himself. And God had to ask him this question. He said, where were you when I created the heaven and the earth? Even here, in the same chapter of the 40th chapter of Isaiah, God here says that, who hath measured, in the 12th verse, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in the measure, and weighed the mountains in the scales, and the hills in the balance? And who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, has taught him? And with whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed him to the way of understanding? Dear brothers and sisters, we are so small and so insignificant. And even though we as believers oftentimes, Satan can cause us to begin to think that we are somebody or something. Indeed, he could even cause us to become as we heard this morning, that Pharisee who prayed and thanked God that he wasn't like the rest of those sinners. Satan can tempt us in many different ways. If he does not succeed into pulling us into the gutters of the world and the sins of the flesh and the sins of pride and whatever those sins there are on the left side, he then slyly begins to pull us under the sins on the right and just causes us to begin to think that indeed, we are something and somebody. And God asks the question, where were you when I created the heavens and the earth? There's a very short prayer. It's actually a prayer of the Irish fishermen of old. And it's a simple prayer. Father, help me. I am so small, and the sea is so huge.
we are small, we are insignificant, we are great sinners, but what grace of grace it is that our Heavenly Father, again and again, grants unto us His blessing, His grace, His mercy, and His forgiveness. And so we can be joyful and we can be comforted. Yes, yes, the warfare oftentimes is very difficult. The struggle, you know, to remain on this narrow way of life. It seems that we go from one ditch into the other ditch, into the other ditch, into the other ditch. Again and again, the Heavenly Father gently calls us to come this way. Believe, your sins and doubts are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall never slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. And the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Yes, that is the kind of Heavenly Father we have. He is with us every moment of our life. He is very near. And He desires to uplift and to comfort. And He lovingly rebukes us when we begin to astray onto those byways and highways that Satan desires that we begin to travel down. And again, He leads us here into this flock. Oftentimes He lifts and He carries when it seems that the journey is too difficult. And He places us into the midst of His kingdom. And we feel that love and nearness of the children of God. And it seems oftentimes then it is not very long and we are again on the outside of the flock. They're traveling on the outskirts and Satan is very near and very close. And again, our Heavenly Father places us into the midst of His kingdom where we feel that joy and love, that grace and mercy and forgiveness. Certainly He gives rest and refreshment from the heat and weariness of life and from the cold and deceitfulness of the oppressing world. This is the kind of Heavenly Father we have. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. He has promised. The prophets remind us, God has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake you. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. No matter what we do, God is very near. He is close, and Jesus is there in our homes. And indeed, even this tabernacle that we have, within it dwells the Holy Spirit. So even our bodies are tabernacles of our Heavenly Father. In that way, that the Holy Spirit of our Heavenly Father dwells within us. And so we endeavor to believe and to make those new promises that, yes, I want to believe. I want to continue here in God's kingdom, even as the weakest and the poorest. Psalm writer reminded us that I had rather be a doorkeeper in the kingdom of God for a day than to live 1,000 in the tents of the wicked. This life ends. Even if one could live 1,000 years, it ends. 10,000 years, it ends. Life ends. And it is so comforting to journey here in God's kingdom, knowing we are safe and secure. Even though this thin, corrupt flesh that we carry and the enticements of the enemy of the soul are very near, and the oppressive darkness of the unbelieving world is so close, yet we can be joyful. And indeed, we can rejoice, because as God has said, your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so be of good cheer. All sins and doubts are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. Boys and girls, doesn't that feel good? Dear brothers and sisters, doesn't that feel good? And I also need to hear this gospel that, can I believe my sins and doubts forgiven? I desire to believe with you. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.